Almighty, eternal, and merciful God, by your beloved Son, you established your kingdom of grace for us here on earth, that we might hear and believe that our sins are fully forgiven for his sake. For you are a God who has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. We beseech you graciously forgive us our many sins for the sake of Jesus, the crucified and risen, who will return in glory to gather those who are his by faith. In this faith, keep us, we pray. Amen. Again, good morning and welcome to one and all on this almost the end of the church year. The text that we have before us again is the epistle for this day, found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that you have already heard. In the name of him then who sits at the right hand of the Father and will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead, dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus. Are you woke? Well, if you follow the news, follow the political drama, and drama is the word, in our nation that inundates us every day, you know what that expression means. But rather than get into the swampy mess, you're picking up all these code words in here, I hope, this swampy mess that is modern American politics, let us consider the term woke, what it would mean in the light of the scripture text that we have before us this morning. Another and less politically charged way to say it is this, kind of old-fashioned. Do you get it? Do you get it? Do you get what God has been saying to the world for the 20 centuries since the day that Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, ascended into the clouds before the eyes of his closest disciples after having told them that he would return visibly in the same way? The Lutheran Church has many strengths. We won't talk about the weaknesses. There are probably some of those too. But it has many strengths. But the greatest is that we get the Bible. Let me explain. You may know other people who know more Bible passages than you do. You may know people who seem more ready and eager to talk Bible than you. You may know people who are seemingly more confident than you are when it comes to Christianity. It's entirely possible. But consider, do you understand law and gospel? In other words, do you understand what God says to you about his absolute requirements to get into heaven? The law, the holiness it demands, and that you have failed to fulfill those requirements. You have failed miserably. His law condemns you. Do you understand that Jesus has done all that you have not done to keep the law for you in your place? And what is more, he paid with his own suffering and death for all your failures. That is the gospel, the good news. believing that good news saves you. By faith, and the Bible is very clear on this, God credits you with all that Jesus did for you. That is exactly what the Bible teaches. If you know and believe this, you get the Bible. You get the Bible, but you may not know all of it. I don't know a lot of people who do. There may be many things that you feel you should understand, but perhaps you think you don't, or at least that you do not know them as well as you should. Don't worry. Don't worry. You have the critical things. You have the basic things. You are standing on the firm foundation that God the Father himself laid for you and for all of Christendom. For the rest, simply put everything into this context, the context of what you know for sure. That is, everything in the context of the law and the gospel. For example, these texts on the second coming of Christ, on death, resurrection, judgment, and all the last things, they can cause us some concern, can't they? Our sermon text for this morning speaks of the last days, but it's a very comforting text. Very comforting one to hear. That is, after all, why the Apostle Paul said what he said. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. We're standing at 125 years anniversary for the school and now 126 for the church. How many have sat in these pews that no longer do? There are many. The Thessalonians experienced the same things. They may even have thought of their relatives from the time of the Old Testament, those who could trace their families back. But many Christians believe that in these last days, at the time of Christ's return, there will be a rapture. You've heard the term, haven't you? A taking up of all true Christians to heaven. You may even see as you drive around a bumper sticker on the car in front of you that says, and you've all probably seen it, warning, in case of the rapture, this car may be driverless. And of course, this is the car owner's way of saying to you that he or she will surely be taken up into the clouds with Christ. And you, if you are seeing the empty driver's seat, well, you already know, don't you? Oh, by the way, should you happen to see a driverless car in front of you someday soon, don't panic. Worry only that the computer piloting has been tested thoroughly enough and will not malfunction when you're driving near to it in traffic. But as far as worrying whether you are a true Christian or not, simply believe what Jesus says. Believe the word of the Lord given by him to Saint Paul in this text today to deliver to you for your encouragement. To return to the idea many have that some people will be caught up and others left behind. There's another one of those loaded phrases, isn't it? Is tied to the verses before us today, for sure. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Well, the term rapture is not one we Lutherans use very much. You're familiar with it probably from other places.
It actually comes to us from St. Jerome's Latin translation of the very verses before us. And you, in point of fact, know the term from other words. What's a raptor? Eagle, hawk, right? It's a bird of prey that pounces on its prey and then carries it up and away, right? Or a rapt audience, R-A-P-T, is one whose attention has been so caught up by what's being said that they are carried away by it. But some, you see, use this term rapture with special meaning. They believe that the rapture will be followed by 7 years of tribulation, followed by 1,000-year earthly reign of Jesus, sometimes called the millennium. More Latin, I love to do this. This belief is taken, dare I say, raptured, ripped out of context from Revelation chapter 20. But it ignores the content of the whole of Revelation. It ignores the context of the whole of the Bible itself. Those who believe in this kind of rapture ignore plain, clear sections of the Bible, and many they are, that teach about the last days in favor of their curious interpretation of the visions that precede Revelation chapter 20. Consider, for example, the gospel lessons for the last Sundays of the church year, verses you hear every year. Nobody tries to hide them from you. You'll hear them next Sunday and again the following Sunday. Jesus will return. Point one. He will judge the living and the dead. He will send the unrighteous away into outer darkness, but the righteous, those who are his by faith, to eternal life. And with that, all earthly history will end. That's what the Bible teaches. So let us consider the context of the passage. Paul is answering a specific concern of the Thessalonian Christians, who worried that those among them who had died before would miss out on heaven. So Paul answers what? That all believers in Christ would be raised to glory on that last day. None would be left behind. And then he gives the Thessalonian believers some details of what is going to happen. Our Lord will suddenly appear on the day of judgment. Every eye will see him, having been, I'm tempted to say woke, but I won't, having been awakened by the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. Those who have died in the faith will rise from their graves to be with him, and we who remain, if you and I remain until that last day, will be caught up with him forever. Forever. That is the true order of events. The apostle tells the Thessalonians that we declare to you by a word from the Lord. Judgment Day and the end times are an important topic in the New Testament. Pick any one of the four Gospels and read through it, and you will see that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all spend considerable amount of space recording what Jesus had to say about Judgment Day. Read through the epistles, and you will find that the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles Paul and Peter to devote quite a bit of space to it as well. In fact, so important is the topic, the Holy Spirit saw fit to devote an entire book to it and put it at the end of the New Testament. But ultimately, this important topic holds no fear or uncertainty for us. for we view it in the context and confidence of faith, not sin and guilt. Yes, we will all die, unless the day of which Paul speaks takes place first. And yes, whether we die or whether we are alive to see what no eye yet has ever seen, the return of Christ for judgment. In either case, what we will experience is unknown to us, isn't it? And thus touched with a little bit of anxiety. We fear death a little bit because we've never done it before. But dear friends, that is exactly why Paul says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is what will happen. We come to this place week after week to be with Jesus. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We come here to hear his law so that we may know our sins. But most especially, we come here to hear his gospel, his good news that it is finished. Your sins are forgiven you. We are at peace with our Father and Creator once more because of what his beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, has done for us. That's why we come here. In other words, we come here week after week to get it. To be and remain woke. We come here to be with Jesus in this place where so many who have gone before us also came. Isn't it encouraging to hear that Jesus wants to be with us too? That he will return to take us to himself forever and ever. Amen. Please arise.